In my personal experience, there are always very many more false alarms, false fire alarms, than real fires. And too frequent false alarms tend to be ignored. Yet the reality of danger exists. Besides fires, of course, there are a whole array of even greater perils that can threaten us as individuals, or even threaten our entire community, or our country, or even the whole world. There are all the new plagues like AIDS, Ebola virus, Bungie fever, bird flu, anthrax, or drug-resistant TB. Terrorism and the threat of bombing in New York or Washington, or even here in Peoria, Illinois, are possibilities. Our American intelligence community is worried about the nuclear bombs in Pakistan and North Korea and Iran. Then there are the general anxieties over earthquakes, hurricanes, volcanoes, and certainly around here, tornadoes. And we shouldn't forget about global warming or holes in the ozone layer. And if that were not enough, there is some growing scientific concern over how many comets from outer space regularly intersect our Earth's orbit and could easily crash onto the world and destroy everything. So on a kind of dreary November Sunday afternoon, with our country still at war, as the days grow shorter and the nights grow longer, when the world begins to look more dead than alive, even at a joyous celebration of an honors mass, it's almost enough to tempt us just to give up. Despair, however, is certainly not the point of today's appointed readings from the Word of God. God's Word constantly offers hope and persistently teaches wisdom. God's Word always tells the truth, and so its message sets us free. And part of the liberating truth that comes from God is the fact that there is absolutely nothing new about war and terrorism and plagues and troubles. From the dawn of history, there's always been natural disasters, as well as a full complement of wars and rumors of wars, of nations rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom, of scandals and persecutions, and even fearsome portents in the sky. Our parents, their parents, and every human generation, and most of the men and women we honor today, have had to face problems and endure testing during the relatively brief moments of time that any of us have on this earth. Life can sometimes be like living in a furnace, that burning oven so vividly envisioned by the prophet Malachi in today's first reading. Some will survive while others are left with neither root nor branch. Since this has been so throughout our human history, many have predicted the imminent end of the world. Every variety of false prophet and religious nut has made a living by predicting every sort of bad thing. But Jesus warns us in today's gospel, do not listen to them. Before the end of the ages, there will be many false alarms and patently phony, misleading messiahs. But with so many false alarms, perhaps the danger for you and me is that we grow inattentive and complacent. We might develop a kind of disaster fatigue and even begin to delude ourselves into thinking that this world will always go on just as we know it, and live as if there were no death, no end of the world, no final judgment. Like those Thessalonians that St. Paul admonishes in today's second reading, we could grow lazy, without purpose, without generosity. Some folks in that town had stopped working altogether because they thought if the world was going to end anyway, why bother about anyone or anything? Today's gospel, Jesus again gives us sound advice against both foolish blindness and selfish surrender. The Savior of the world teaches us, by your perseverance, you will save your lives. To clearly see life in this world as it really is, with all its fragility, all its perils, with all its racing impermanence, should actually liberate our existence. Faith and wisdom should put our brief time on earth into the perspective of eternity. Accepting what is true about the endings in this life should actually allow us to make more fresh starts and allow us to know deeper enjoyment, richer appreciation of the enormous significance of simply being alive. We can be liberated from all the constant worry over those many things that simply don't matter. And we can embrace much more enthusiastically all those things that have eternal value, like love, like service, like gratitude and thanksgiving, like family and friends, like being a part of a church, like mercy and the gift of self to God and to one another. The men and women, the priests and religious whom we honor today, simply never allowed trouble to paralyze their love. Let us remember again and give thanks for all the sacrifice involved in establishing our parishes, our hospitals, our apostolates, and most of all, in a very special way at this anniversary, of our Catholic schools. Communities of selfless religious women, heroic parish priests, and a determined Catholic laity never expected that loving God and loving neighbor would always be an easy thing to do. The men and women we honor today, however, were not defeated by fear nor intimidated by opposition. They dreamed their dreams. They set to work with an open heart. They gave freely of themselves to their Lord, as their Lord had so freely given to each one of them. And as faith-filled believers, they did not burden their goals and projects with eternal expectations. They remembered that even the Holy Temple in Jerusalem, for all its splendor and sanctity, was one day destroyed. They remember that in the end, only three things last: faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. Every year, at this time of year, when the trees and flowers have faded, when the harvest has been gathered in, the liturgy of our church more insistently than ever reminds us of the end time harvest. All temporal things pass away. This splendid and most beloved cathedral will someday crumble. All of our best good works have their moment in God's plan, but even the worthiest of our ministries will in time have served their purpose and will come to an end. In 100 years, all of us will be dead, even the youngest among us, even babes in arms, everyone in this world will pass away. But Jesus Christ is a life and a truth that will never end. And Christ is a love that is stronger than death, and eternal spring that knows no winter, a sun that rises and never sets. And Christ is everlasting mercy, greater than all our sins and weaknesses, an eternal light that conquers everything that is dark and evil. As Jesus promises us in today's gospel, not a hair of your head will be destroyed. So none of the troubles, none of the dangers of this world should ever defeat us. The problems we face should not rob our lives of confidence, of peace, of sheer joy in living for the Lord. Remember at every Mass, we hear the words, lift up your hearts. And you know, we should really shout back, we have lifted them up to the Lord. And at that precise moment, it's almost as if God's church were standing on tiptoes, filled with happiness and deep expectation, hoping for, longing for, waiting for the glorious appearance of the Savior. Every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, we do pray, Thy kingdom come. That's not a false alarm. That is a promise from God. Christ will come again. So like lovers in love, pining for the beloved, at every Mass, we should anticipate eternal union with our loving God. When at the end of all time and history, He who is our love appears again in glory and completes His work of redemption, making us a perfect offering to God, His Almighty Father. So there is nothing in this world that should ever make us afraid. Not false alarms, not real alarms, not death itself, not even the end of the world. For those who belong to Christ, there is nothing that can defeat us, because Jesus is the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And in Him, we are blessed beyond measure, now and forever.